What's going on, everybody? Jesse here from Flyers Alley. Just want to thank all of our wonderful sponsors of Old City Sports Network, Fanatics, Row One Brand, Norse Beards, Righteous Felon Jerky, Sterling Pig Brewery, Neshaminy Creek Brewing, Hangman Brewing, and Bright Path Brewing. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be an Old City Sports Network. You can find all their links in the description, all the promo codes you can use are in our description. Thanks, everybody. Flyers Alley came to you guys for a post-draft lottery special. We got in here with us today, special guest, Johnny Mack from the Road to the Show pod and live show on our network, brand new thing. So what's going on, John? How are we doing?
Good, man. Good. Just enjoying the playoffs and all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And it's an exciting time. You know what? From about now until the middle of July, when free agency and arbitration and that kind of stuff. So it's my favorite time of the year, honestly. There's just so much going on, and you've got, how many teams you got left here? You got 8 teams left in the playoffs. There's another 24 that are scrambling now and looking for, a coach or a GM or maybe a scout. And they're, it's just fun. It's fun. The draft, you got the draft coming, and somebody's going to win a cup here that hasn't won it in a while. And, it's exciting. Free agency. Everybody's optimistic this time of year that their team's going to be good, right? If they make the right moves and get the right coach, they're going to be there because everybody's got an even record.
Right. I actually haven't watched a single playoff game.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like me and Wade, we talked about it and was just, we got to take a break. You're running all fumes there. It wasn't the easiest, the best season the Flyers have had. It wasn't the worst, but, so we're going to get into a lot of things right now. Brandon chimes in, says, what's up, guys? Corey Welk, same thing. What's good, Jesse? Tom McGuire says, what's up, fellas? And Ron Duffney says hi. Before we jump into it, make sure you guys go like us on Facebook at Flyers Alley on Facebook, the like page and the group. Twitter at Flyers Alley Pod 1, Instagram at Flyers Alley, and YouTube at Old City Sports Network. You can find John anywhere on his show, Road to the Show. I believe the Twitter is Road to Show Pod. You can go on Old City Sports too, anywhere we're at, and you'll see him usually Sundays at 6. I think you're changing it up a little bit. If you want to kind of introduce yourself, though, tell everybody exactly who you are, what you do.
Sure.
And because you're kind of a new face when it comes to the alley anyway. So,
yeah. So I was a hack hockey player, made a little bit of money playing, like to drop the mitts and look after my teammates and, have pops after the game. And, I enjoyed the game immensely. I got into coaching at a young age and development. So I've been quite successful at that side of the game. Worked with, you know, numerous NHL players, and you know, I run programs all over Atlantic Canada. I'm based in Halifax. So yeah, kind of, you know, I have some pretty good contacts still in the game, and the program that we have, as you know, Jesse, is you know, a little unconventional when it comes to a podcast or a vlog. And what I do is I bring on players or ex-players or, you know, executives or anybody that's really involved in the sport. And we talk about their story. So we will sit down and talk about when they were a little kid and, you know, what turned them on to the game of hockey, to, you know, some of the coaches that they had and teammates that they had along their journey. Sometimes we get into some difficult conversations, and we'll talk about, you know, maybe some depression or anxiety or, you know, substance abuse and things like that. But I like to put a little bit of a personal touch on these players, because a lot of times, you know, as you know, athletes are treated as a piece of meat, right? And they're out there, they're a number, and they'll be cut if they don't produce and this and that. You know, behind that number is there's a dad and a son and a brother and a sister and that kind of stuff. So I like to show that human side of it. You know, explore the individual, and I think you know, so far the feedback's been positive, and you know, we've had some ex-NHLers, we got some current NHLers coming. Got a guy coming Monday night, so yeah, we are going to go Monday. We can't be pulling people away from Mother's Day dinner to listen to the show, but we got a real good guest, EJ Johnston. So Three Ice is big in the area where you guys are, in there around Philly. I think there's an event in Pittsburgh. There's an event in Hershey, and then the finals are in Philly. So right. It's basically similar to the Big Three basketball for those listeners that know that. And they go into a center for a weekend and have basically a 3-on-3 tournament. It's on TV. It's on CBS Sports in the U.S. and TSN in Canada. And there's some guys that played in the show. There's a guy that's playing this year that played in the show for Chicago and Florida, Brandon Peary. He's a Toronto kid. And then, you know, they got some guys that were Ray Bork's coaching his two sons. So okay. Ray is one of the teams, and Grant Fuhrer. And, you know, there's a lot of really cool, I think John LeClaire.
Yeah, John LeClaire on there.
Yeah, so you know, he's got some pretty good contacts, and so EJ is going to come on. We're going to talk about, you know, his dad's Eddie Johnson, right? Hall of Fame goaltender, Boston Bruins, and you know, was a GM of Pittsburgh when they won their first two cups, when they won their cups in 91-92. Craig Patrick's involved in this league. He's the commissioner of the Hockey League.
Oh, really?
You know, another Hall of Famer, right? New York Ranger, and you know. U.S. Olympian. So I'm real excited to have EJ on the show. And again, we just talk about hockey and we talk about journeys, and there's some funny stories come out. So yeah, if you want to listen, you know, we'd love to share what we're doing with everybody out there.
Yeah. And if anyone that's listening now wants to call in, like I always say, the OCSN landline is on 302-367-7276. I will answer. It is hooked up to my Google phone, and we could get you on air with the coach. So before we do all that, let's we're going to get into some things. Obviously, we have to do some sponsor things. We're going to do as many as we can that fit what we're doing tonight. Let's jump into some Alley Talk. All right, so Alley Talk is brought to you by Fanatics. Right now, I don't know what's going on with Fanatics. They don't have promo codes. That kind of stopped when they became the jersey people for the NHL. So right now, what we're going to be doing in Old City Sports and obviously Flyers Alley, go to the link in the description, click on that thing. It'll take you to all your Flyers stuff on the Fanatics website. You know, help us out, support your local businesses, and go from there. So the first thing we're going to talk about in Alley Talk is the Keith Jones hockey operations president type deal. So I would like to get your opinion on this, if you think it's a great thing, which I believe I tweeted it out a day before it actually was like official. No one was tweeting it out. I tweeted it out. I was the first guy. Anyway, I'm never the first guy. But so yeah, your opinion on the I don't know who you thought it should have been out of the people they were looking at. If you think Keith Jones is a good move, what are your opinions on that?
Yeah, I like to move a lot. I got a lot of time for Keith. He's paid his dues. I'm telling you, you know, people will talk and you've seen it in other sports. The guys that played and then go right into coaching, great, you know, great into the front office, great. It's a grind in the media. It really is. You've got to really be on your toes. You're coming out of a sport where every single second word in the dressing room is an F-bomb and now you got a microphone in front of you and you're on live TV. So there's right. a big responsibility. Keith has been nothing but a professional for probably 15. I think Keith's about my age. He's probably been out of the game for 20 years. 15 to 20 years. So, he's been in the media. So you learn a lot in the media when you're covering these teams and you're going to different rinks. You know, the game's 3 hours, right? You're building relationships with management and players, and you're able to have video at your disposal, right? So he's breaking down that game, watching it. So Keith Jones knows who can play and who can't play. And when you're running an NHL organization, that's what you need to know, right? I mean, you know, the numbers and how much they make and this, you gotta find guys that can play the game. And he knows, he's been there, he's played it, and he's paid his dues in the media. He's got a tremendous amount of respect. I think it's gonna be a real good fit. The other guy that was in it was Eddie O. We talked about him yesterday. He's had his health issues. I think he'd be a good pick too as a leader of an organization. I think Keith got it up, had a leg up because he played there. Let's face it, right? Eddie O never played there as well respected as he is. Philly's a different beast, different animal. And I think if you wore that orange and black at one point of your career, you'll have a little bit of a leg up.
So some people in the crowd are agreeing. My thing is, and I did talk Tom McGuire. He's on the Art Eagle show. It's going to be debuting soon. The thing with Jonesy is he knows the game. He gets around to cover the NHL as a whole. So I'm okay with it. But like we said this morning, the hiring of former players seems predictable and easy. And that's my thing is that, so, and I don't mean this any disrespect towards you, John. My thing with it is that it's us in Philadelphia and in the greater Philadelphia area have been dealing with this shit with these former players either being at the top and having their hand in the cookie jar when they shouldn't. And then, you know, you have my thing about Eddie Olczyk was he never played for the Flyers and he knew the league. So I feel like he wouldn't have a bias with anyone that's already in the organization or on the team. So, like, I think that Jones is good of a candidate as anyone, but I think that there's going to be issues when it comes to him having a biased opinion about the people that are on the team he's been covering for, I mean, how long? I mean, you need to look. I feel they need to with what happened last year, I feel like they need to start really, really focusing on things outside of the franchise when it comes to players coming in, because it's just there.
I don't disagree. And I see your point, Jesse, with, it was an old boys school in Philly for the last 40 years, right?
Since
Bobby Clarke retired, let's face it, Bobby and, there's his cast of characters and passionate guys and whatnot. The game's different now, right? You know, Keith isn't the general manager. Keith isn't going to be dealing with cap stuff. He's going to be pulling the strings from the top. I mentioned in our messaging last night, I think Danny Breer is going to be on a short leash. I think he's going to have a clear mandate. I think what's going to happen here is you got to look at it from Keith's perspective, right? This is his shot.
Mm-hmm.
Is running an NHL hockey club. Okay. So if I don't believe that he's going to let any personal feelings about a player or a coach or anything like that get in his way. He has a mandate. He was hired here to turn this franchise around and make them win. You know, he has an idea. I believe I know what his idea is. I don't think, they call them, what do they call them now? Like a hybrid rebuild where you kind of rebuild, but you don't
retool.
Yeah. Retool, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that's what Philadelphia needs at this point. Draft capital is more valuable today than it's ever been, in the salary cap world. You got to be able to put, you know, $850,000 or $900,000 min, you know, entry level salary guys that can play the game at that level in your lineup if you want to win. Because you got to have 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 million dollar guys now to carry the brunt of it. But you got to find other guys at lower rates. So the way to do that, in my opinion, is collect some draft capital. Let's see how the season starts. You know, go into the playoff deadline next year if you're not in and you're aggressively moving guys. I would look at moving a couple of guys this summer, depending on who. You know, you got some injuries there, some long-term stuff that you got to kind of navigate through. But I think he's going to rebuild it because Jones is going to say to himself, okay, what do I do, right? Do I do it half-ass and not get there and lose my job in 2 years? Or do I say, okay, you know what? Let's get the fan base and the ownership to buy in and say, okay, yeah, you know what? This is a 3 to 5 year process. We're going to do this. We're going to collect some draft capital, get to a point where we're, you know, we've got 3 first round picks and 2 seconds and 3 thirds. And, you know, we moved Ellis, if he can't play, we moved his deal to Phoenix because they bring them up to the floor and, you know, stuff like that. You got to start to look at it and you got to get a little lucky too, right? You got to, you know, Toronto finished last that year that they got Matthews and they won the lottery. It doesn't usually happen. The last place team gets it, but that happened. And who is it? It's Matthews. Look at this year. I mean, Chicago got lucky.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, that kid's going to change that franchise, right? So, I like it. I think he's passionate. Like I said, you know, Breer, what scares me the most is that you get 2 hockey players running your franchise, running the business side of your franchise. And it's nice to have maybe, you know, somebody that's a little bit more seasoned as a GM, or more seasoned as a, you know, so you got, when Brian Burke went into, Pittsburgh, you had him as the president and Hexie as the GM. Didn't work, but I was comfortable with that, you know, that blend of guys, right? You had some business. These 2 guys don't have a lot of hockey business. So as long as they surround themselves with the right guy, I'd like to see Al McCauley. So Alan's a scout, director of player personnel development stuff. So when I was at the last U, the World Juniors before COVID, it was in Ostrava, and we were actually, we were with the Philly guys quite a bit. And they're scouts. We were in the same hotel as us. And Al, I got a lot of time for Alan McCauley, and I think he's you know, he's going to work his way through there.
That's good.
But we'll see. And Torts.
That's something that I was going to ask you about later. But I mean, like I said, we're not gonna be on here forever. But
no.
That's something that I was going to ask. Let me see what I had in here next, actually. Get the draft thing done and talked about. I understand and respect exactly what you're saying, and I know that that's probably the right idea. It's just I think every Philadelphia fan is just so tired of the deal with them having former Flyers in there. But I will say that if it wasn't Eddie Olczyk, and that those are the reasons why I wanted him, but I think Jones is a great candidate too. So I mean. He does move around the league, so it's not just he's not just with the Flyers. He does stuff all over the place. So, yeah. Moving on to the let's see, the Flyers. I mean, one thing that I do have to say, I'm kind of disappointed with the draft lottery this year because they didn't even show the drawing of like the balls in the lottery machine.
It's goofy now.
That was the only excitement of it. And then I realized how bad the other half was. I was like, it literally said right underneath exactly what was going to happen besides the first and second one. And I was like, wasted a half hour of my life right now. But
yeah, they haven't been able to figure out how to make that and execute that the right way, I don't think. I mean, it's not even to me, what I would do is let me ask you this, Jesse.
Yeah.
I saw something that was quite interesting the other day, and it said I think it said you put 24 teams in the playoffs instead of 16, right? And then the last 8 teams that don't make the playoffs have a little playoffs of their own. Round robin, 2 divisions of 3. They play 3 games each, and then the winner of this division plays the winner of this division. And that guy gets the first pick.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you take the standings for the rest of them, but make it matter. Right. You know, Philly hockey player at 7, there's a huge, huge level of talent in this draft. There's kids in the top 8, 7, 6 hole that are going to go that might have been a first overall pick in other years. Right? There's a real good bunch of players. So you're going to get a real good player. I have my eye on a couple, and we talked about them. They'll take Michkov there if he's available. So Michkov is the kid. I believe he, any other year, he's first overall. He's, you know, they've got Fantilli slotted in at 2nd. And he's a tremendous player too. He could be a first overall pick in a different year. He's going to go to Anaheim. And then, you know, Columbus has got to figure out what Columbus is, right? Columbus has to figure out, do we wait 3 years for Michkov? Or, you know, you got Line A and Goudreau. So they're in a tough spot. Who's 4? I don't even know who 4 is. 5 is Montreal. I think 4 San Jose. But anyway, you're going to get a real good player. I like Braden Jaeger in that spot. So same. Braden is a Western Hockey League player. He almost got exceptional status out there. So Braden Jaeger and Riley Height, who's also going to go in the first round, played their Bantam U15 at the association that I was the, you know, I was a coach mentor for that group. And so we get to watch those two young men play, and they were dynamic. Right? They won a provincial championship, and they ended up, you know, one went to Prince George Height, and the other guy went to Moose Warriors.
Yeah,
but they can both play. I think Braden would be a real good guy for Philly. He's, just a good player. He's a pass first guy. Playing with somebody that can finish, and yeah, I think he's going to get a good player.
He's got 78 points in 67 games this year, with 28 goals and 50 assists.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of people in Philly don't really care until they hit the ice about the stat of plus minus, and he was a 6. Once if he goes negative once, they want to get rid of him. My pick is Brendan Jaeger. And I do have to bring up, Corey Walk said here, I think the Flyers will go after Will Smith. Will Smith also is, I think he's like number 3, though. I looked at it today, and he moved up.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. I would love Will Smith or the Height kid. I did some research on him today. I don't have it here now. But Will Smith and Brendan Jaeger are my definites for sure. I mean, but I could be wrong, though, because last year I wanted Matt Savoy, and then he went to Buffalo and then hasn't gotten over the hump. He's been in the Winnipeg Ice.
I think he's Stone Jr. Yeah.
So, you know, he dropped down about 10 slots during the draft. So, I mean,
that happens.
Well, I'm definitely interested in those two for sure. I think we have a question for you right here. Going forward, do you see the office guys working with Torts to look for a certain style and system being implemented and the type of players that will fit to and allow that? Will all the moves, whether through the draft, trade, free agency, and waiver wire, be surrounded by that?
I that's a great, great, great question, Ryan. I believe Torts is Torts. Nobody's going to tell Torts how to coach or how, you know, Torts is going to do what Torts does, and that's, you know, implement structure, hold people accountable, you know, bark at the media. Torts is Torts. What I do see them trying to implement, and we've talked about this on another show, Jesse, is you know, the development model that some of the NHL teams are doing now, I don't think has been implemented, you know, as well as it could be in Philly. And what that is having your American Hockey League team in real close collaboration with your NHL team. So, right. So your Lehigh coach is regularly in communication with your Flyers coach. They're getting their teams to play the same system. So if you run into some injuries in Philadelphia and you got to call up two defensemen and a forward from Lehigh, that guy can walk in. You're not trying to get, you know, refresh him on what we're doing. So this is the way the organization plays. For sure, there's going to be, you know, some decisions made on, you know, what they're doing. Are they building, you know, 3 to 5? Are they going to try to retool and be good next year? But what's good, right? Do you want to squeak into the playoffs and get smashed in the first round?
Right.
Or do you want to build the team the proper way and be a contender, you know, every year, right? Like, Chicago has been, or Boston is, or Tampa is, right? They just kind of they develop their players. They keep their draft picks. They get good coaching. They, you know, all that kind of stuff is a culture within an organization. And I think Keith Jones is going to bring that. I really do. If you listen to him and hear about some of the things that he talks about in a broadcast, he's not talking about the left wing lock or the dump in, you know, corner dump and chase, or, you know,
chase talk, I hate it.
He's talking about more of the mental side of the game. Right.
Right.
Which is important.
And yeah, Corey, he did jump. I think Will Smith was at like 6 and now, or 5, and now he's at 3. Moving on real quick. We are going to get into the grittier things here. This will be kind of the last thing we get into, just because it is what it is. But, yeah, I got a ad read thing for it and we'll get ready.
Sure.
All right, so the Woodshed is brought to you by Neshaminy Creek Brewing. Go to www.neshaminycreekbrewing.com. Check out all their stuff. Got some cool wear, cool t-shirts, cool, the best can art in the business. Not next Friday, following will be our monthly Delco Dive episode. We got some cool stuff on there, some Star Wars-based beer we're going to be drinking, oddly enough. So the one thing, I have two things. And I think you actually already went over Philly's plan with Danny B and Keith Jones, unless you want to elaborate more onto that. But the one thing I do have is that we were talking about last night, and Torts' lifespan in Philadelphia, I think, is a very, very hot topic.
Yeah. So Torts, Torts, I mean, 2 to 3 years, the players tune him out, right? He's one of those guys that his message gets a little old. Having said that, the most success he ever had, obviously, was winning a cup in Tampa, and he had a really young group, right? He brought guys like Vinny LeCavalier, Martin Saint Louis, Brad Richards, right? Nikolai Habibul, and in that, he had a really young group, and they kind of all came up together. And if you ask any one of those guys, and I have, you know, how was it playing for Torts? Love him. Right. So Torts has a 2 to 3 year shelf life. He's been there, you know, in a normal world, this is a half veteran team or whatever, and you're trying to win right now and you don't, or you're, you know, on the cusp, Torts has probably another season, maybe a season and a half, before the guys just basically say, hey, you know what,
you know, and I'm 30 years old. I'm not going to listen to a grown man spitting and yelling and hollering and screaming. I know what my job is and I'm going to go out and do it. Having said that, if they do rebuild, which I think they should, if I'm Keith Jones today, my meetings are already looking to, you know, as I said earlier, increased our assets with draft capital and build this thing properly from the, you know, for the key positions, that might extend Torts' life, right? Because if you had a whole new young crew of kids that come in, that's kind of where Torts has had his success. He was in Columbus, couldn't win, you know, wins a series here and there. Went to Vancouver, couldn't win. Had some good teams out there, right? He was in the Rangers, couldn't win. You know, this might be an opportunity for him to, you know, he's 60 years old. He's, you know, he's got 5 or 6 years left probably. And, you know, if he can build this Philly team into a contender in 3 years with Briere and Jonesy, I mean, you know, he's got a job for the rest of his life, right? He's, you know, once a, you know, if you're successful in Philly, that's why there's been so many guys that have stuck around for so long. You know, the Reggie Leaches and Bobby Clarks and stuff, that's because they had success.
I think bridge coach is the term that I use the most with him. But yeah. It's crazy because the other day I don't even remember who I was talking to about it. I was talking to somebody about how long he should be, and I thought that they should re-sign. It may have even been you. I think they should re-sign him after his contract is up. I'm kind of on the fence about it now. Yeah. I do, because if you think about it, you know, obviously watched every game, give or take the last couple games at the end of the season. I didn't watch. I was like, for the love of God, please let me sleep at night. And you could tell what you're saying is happening, but it's happening with it, like the Hayes, the Tony D'Angelo. There's a couple guys on the team that are just not, they're kind of like, okay, dude, like I hear you. And you could tell, cause you know, he's benching people, he's doing his thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's not this day and age, but the way that hockey is now, that kind of coaching is kind of gone. Yeah. So, I mean, I got to agree with you. I mean, do you think he's run out of town before his 4 years are up?
Depends on the group. If it's a bunch of kids, that's maybe what he needs to stay longer.
My God.
But, you know, it depends on, you know, depends on the group, really. And, you know, I would move on from a lot of the, I'd keep a couple of leaders around. You need some guys to protect the kids, you know, on the tougher side, but I, you know, look at the teams that have been successful over the last 20 years. You know, they brought a bunch of kids up together, right? And they all kind of, you know, came in and did what they had to do.
I've been hearing a lot of JVR going back to Toronto talk.
Not a chance.
I wouldn't think so either.
No. JVR will get a job, but he'll be in Phoenix or Anaheim.
I was just going to say the desert.
Yeah.
Send him to the moon.
He can still play. And you know what? He's a useful guy, and I think he's a good dressing room guy. He's not a $7 million player anymore, not even close. You know, Kevin Hayes will be – you'll be able to get assets for him.
Well, there's pretty heavy rumors him going to Columbus.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yarmo is you know, always looking, and he's active, and you know, we actually had a quick conversation today, and he's bummed that he didn't win the lottery, but you know, he's got tricks up his sleeve, and you know, Kevin Hayes is a useful player. There's another couple of guys there that, you know, I would keep a Konechny, I'd keep you know, Tippett and Frost, obviously. Frost coming off, I'd probably give him a bridge deal, make him earn his money. You know, give him a 2 year at $4.5 million a year, and you know, say, hey, you know what, you do what you got to do, then we can, you know, we can talk about some big money. But he's got to prove leadership, right? When you move out your veterans, those younger guys have to come into a situation where, you know, they're the go-to guy. You know, you're the guy that's got to stand up for your teammates and, you know, say the right things when they need to be said. So you put, you know, I'm not worried about, certainly, Konechny, and, you know, if Katoria gets healthy
I mean, he's a great leader, but he's going to be worth something too. You know, if you can move a guy like that at the deadline to a contender, there's a first round pick. There's a useful player. He's a real good hockey player, plays the game the right way, plays it hard. You gotta make a philosophy choice, right? It's not cut and dry. You could add to this group and maybe be successful, but what do you need to do to sustain? That's the question. And I don't know it, right? You know,
I mean, they've needed an absolute goal scorer. So my in a nutshell, I mean, like I said, I was trying to keep this not short, but not very long. They've needed a goal scorer forever. I mean, since Eric Lindros. I mean, there's been guys that could score, but they're not pure goal scorers.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that they're bringing these guys in, but and they're making them goal scorers. Like Claude Giroux was not a goal scorer.
No,
he wasn't a goal scorer in juniors. He scored goals, but I mean, his assists were out of this world.
Yeah.
He didn't have any time to simmer down in the AHL at all. I think he played like 20 games and then they brought him right up. They also did that with Carter Hart, by the way. They don't develop these players and then they try to turn them into something. Konechny is a pest on the ice. He was a playmaker. Now he's scoring goals. So like you have people that can score, and I think they just need that one goal scorer. But now with the league, I mean, who's going to let go of who? Who could you get? The defense could be fine. I mean, Braun just retired and then just signed Igor Zamula. He's a kid down in the AHL who I personally don't think should be the guy that they bring up, but they're going to. There's a lot of holes, and I mean, it's hard to ignore. But I mean, if Couturier, I did have a random guy that was at the practice facility when no one else was the other day. Couturier, they closed it for him to skate, so he is skating, and he was cleared to play, but they shut him down.
Yeah.
So I mean. Smart. They got the tools and the players. I don't know. They get
you got to develop your gold scorers. That's absolutely the way it's going now. Yeah. You got to get them in the draft. I don't think the scouts maybe have been as good as you'd like. There's a certain defenseman in Colorado that would have been pretty good to have instead of Nolan Patrick.
Don't even get me started. Was having that conversation with somebody today and they're like, oh well, he was right there and he was right there. I'm like, my God, please don't do this. I'll get sent home early. But yeah, so I love getting your opinion on things. I love the you know, little if you want to be the person, you are the person that gave me the info about, you know, the Patrick Waugh thing. That's pretty cool. I mean, so you know, we're gonna keep plugging away here and, you know, keep the network going with that. That's a great tool, Johnny Max. Great at what he does. So if you want to plug what you're doing on Monday at time, everything, we have a poster for you as well. So
yeah,
you're spreading that around.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. EJ Johnson from Three Ice. He's a CEO. Eddie Johnson, Hall of Famer's son. You know, just the connections that this guy has. I think Bobby Orr's his godfather.
Oh, okay.
You know, so some of the stories that we're going to be able to get into about how he grew up are going to be phenomenal. And, you know, he's got a real good product. He's capitalized on the popularity of the 3-on-3 game, right, since it came into overtime. And he's looked at it and said, hey, you know what? There's a business here. And they had a real good first year. He's got Hall of Fame NHL guys that are coaching these teams. And he's drawn some good talent. So, you know, I encourage anybody in the area when they're around to you know, pop in and see it, watch it on TV. I don't think the tickets are unreasonable, and it's a good kind of summer sport, right, for the hockey nut. You know, it bridges a gap in there, right? Football hasn't started yet. Baseball's going. Basketball, hockey are done. They start up mid-June when the Stanley Cup gets awarded, and you can watch, you know, a good level of hockey every Saturday night live, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited to have him, and I've got some real good guys, a former Flyer next Sunday. Yeah, Gilbert Dion. Remember Gilbert?
Okay. Brother. So
he's going to come on my show, and we're going to have a conversation, and I've got some really cool guests coming. We're really getting some traction, and like I said, it's a personal
touch to that guy that you see on the ice or watched as a player, and then, you know, asking him questions. I get my son involved. My 9-year-old son comes on, and he has a little segment where he comes on, asks a few questions. He actually, the week before the draft, and I have a clip of it because you made it for me. My son said to David Boland, who was obviously a 2-time cup winner in Chicago with Stanley Cup, and one of the questions Jack asked him was, you know, what's your favorite team? And David said, oh, well, you know, Chicago, but I'm a Toronto guy, so I'd like to see Toronto win. And then his next question was, how would you feel if the Blackhawks won the lottery and picked Bedard? So this is a week before the lottery, right? So, you know, Jack McWilliams and David Boland are talking about what kind of an impact that Connor Bedard would have in Chicago. And then, boom, it comes true, you know, a few days later. It's nice having him involved, and, you know, we can kind of do it together and bond over this great sport.
It's definitely a nice
thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for us, you know, to, you know, be given, you know, with this platform to, you know, get a message out, tell a good story, you know, maybe hate some people on some stuff if they want. And, you know, it's fantastic. I've been enjoying it.
Everybody in the network was kind of like, who the hell is that guy? Because we have a Facebook group chat, and I kind of saved the new members from not going in it because it's absolute anarchy. I never put you in it. So everybody was kind of like, who the hell is this guy? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of my thing I wasn't telling anybody about. We just got it going, and it took off. Absolutely took off. It's a great product, and it's something that the network definitely needed. Like I tell you all the time, it's wholesome, and it's a family show, not like this one. But, you know, it's definitely shows that we do have a heart here at Old City Sports Network. But yeah, like I said, John, thanks for coming on. I'm glad you could come on and talk a little sense into some of the Flyers fans that are in the crowd. Kind of give them a little, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of a good move here, and you know, just gotta wait till next season, right?
Hey, you know what? You're right now undefeated, so you could go. Could go 82-0 next year. Beat that Boston record. Well, that's optimism. That's what you got to look at going in. Well, right? they play the games for a reason, right?
Like I told you, but I said before, I was the most optimistic person. The 3/4 of the season, and finally, I threw the towel in at the end and was like, oh, guys, we just hit the iceberg. We're the Titanic.
Yeah, but they move forward because Torts made some really, really good decisions that may not have been popular at the time, you know, sitting a guy or, you know, calling somebody out or whatever. You know, I think he's already started to repair the culture in that room.
And bringing
Zian is going to help.
Yeah, you could definitely tell a difference with the team too. I mean, the guy, the unspoken heroes, a lot of us in the media were talking about the unspoken heroes, and no one thought we're going to be the guys, and they ended up being kind of the heroes. So, Before we cut it off here, make sure everyone goes and likes John's stuff. Get him on Twitter at MacDubHockey. And I believe it is @RoadToShow on Twitter, the Road to the Show on Instagram and Facebook. And you can catch him anytime you want to go check out one of his episodes on Old City Sports Network's YouTube at Old City Sports. And make sure you go to Twitter at Flyers Alley Pod 1, Instagram at Flyers Alley, and you also go to the YouTube. We have one more comment. Who could this be? Ryan Swoop. Here you go. One more.
What type of style, system, and identity? You know what? Aggressive. I think if I was running that organization, I don't think that the you would ever be successful in Philadelphia unless you play a physical heavy style of hockey. You have guys, you know, on your team that you know are a little bit more on the rugged side, but you got to be able to play now too, right? So I play an aggressive. I, you know, on the PK, I'd be a little bit more you know, aggressive in the corners and commit. When you got 50% chance at a loose puck, you go. A lot of teams will hold back. I think you know you have to play a very physical style, and like Jesse said, you got to be able to. If you don't have that pure goal scorer like a Matthews or a McDavid or McKinnon, you got to be able to score goals by committee. And what's important,
more important than that is the way you play when you don't have the puck, right? So look at the, you know, 90s Jersey teams. You know, they'd win games 2-1, but they won three cups, right? And they played, and they were pretty scary to play against when Scott Stevens and Kenny Danico and guys like that. So I would be, yeah, I would blue collar, right? You know, they're going to go out and play the game hard. You're going to come into Philadelphia and you're going to have a hard time getting 2 points because we're going to, you know, you're going to earn them. So that's, and I think Jones knows that. Jones has been around enough.
And that's what people want. So that's what the fans want. So, with that being said, thanks, John, for coming on. We're definitely, during the season, we're definitely bringing you on. We definitely have to, you and Wade have to talk. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I just had an article drop, too, just so you know, on the Old City Sports Network. And some of the things, and I just for our listeners, I wrote that this morning. What time did I send it to you? About 8 or 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, I was at work, it was before that.
Yeah, I predicted that Pietrangelo would get one game because everybody thought he'd be thrown out of the NHL forever. No, it's a, not a hockey play, but it wasn't, you know, whippy do. I've seen worse in an 8-year-old game, but so you know you get that slash, and then Nurse is gone for a game too. It's a wash. You got your, you know, top pairing defensemen, each one of them down. Probably. What it does is it gives Edmonton even more of an advantage because that's one less guy that can stop, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl. So yeah, anyway, cool article. What I did was I went into a lot of the general manager and the coaching changes that are coming, kind of gave my take, and you know, who I think's going where. And Mike Babcock's name came up today with New York Rangers, but I see him in Anaheim. He coached there before. He won there. You know, they got a good young team. I don't think he wants to be in a media crazy city like New York or Toronto. Well,
Anaheim.
Going to go to Anaheim, and you know,
size of my recent.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Cool. So. That answers that. Anyway, but yeah, make sure you guys check in with John on Monday at what's that, 7, right? 7.
Eastern time. It's 7 o'clock Eastern Monday. Yeah.
Make sure you check in with John. And like I said before, the other day, if you're following the tweets, I am talking to Zach Rinaldo on coming on Flyers Alley for an interview. If we don't do that, well, we're still slotted in to come back in September. And with that being said, that was the post draft lottery special of Flyers Alley. We will see you guys in September.
What's going on, everybody? Jesse here from Flyers Alley. I want to talk to you guys about Sterling Pig Brewery out of Media, Pennsylvania. Delco, hashtag Delco, whatever you want to call it, Delaware County. One of the best craft breweries in the greater Philadelphia area. They're pumping out some serious beers, including my personal favorite, the Baltimore Pike Porter, a 5.8% porter. It's darker than the night. The taste that this beer gives off, I can't even put it into words. It's got mocha, coffee, chocolate hints. It's amazing. Make sure you guys go to your local distributor, check out everything that they have to offer if you're in the greater Philadelphia area. Like I said, www.sterlingpig.com. Check out everything they're doing. You guys have a great night. Go Flyers!
Head on over to RighteousFelon.com for all of your favorite beef jerky flavors. I recommend starting off with the whole shebang craft jerky bundle. The jerky is smoky and savory, spicy and sweet. All of your favorites all in one variety pack. Use promo code OCSN in all lowercase to get 15% off at checkout. Don't miss this great opportunity. Go to RighteousFelon.com today.